Dr. Joan Kenlon, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio here on Green 960 KKGN every Saturday at 5.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you to the Joan Kenley Show. We're dedicated to bringing you our brand of conversation radio, a program where talking really matters and can make a difference. We offer you topics to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul, and we hope you'll take away some ideas to share with friends, family, and community. In other words, spread the word and keep talking. Today, we have a timely conversation about the 26th anniversary of the International Day of Peace, which is celebrated every year worldwide on September 21st. Throughout this hour, we'll be hearing from an incredible group of guests here in the studio and from around the country who are involved in amazing peace-building work around the globe. We'll be telling you about some of the fantastic organizations and events dedicated to this celebration. For instance, Jane Goodall has been known to participate by climbing aboard a rubber raft in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to fly two giant peace doves along the Snake River. Oh, I would certainly love to see that. By the way, do tell your friends they can listen to this show and all our other programs 24/7 because they're archived and downloadable at my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. We want you to listen to everything. And do stay tuned. In addition to our very special in-studio guests, Avon Madison, Charles Gibbs, and Masanko Banda, we'll have phone-in messages from prominent peace leaders, Barbara and Robert Mueller, Joni Mizrak, Patricia Smith-Melton, Dot Maver, Louise Diamond, Sharon Frankamont, and Sharon Meddy. I want to start our conversation today by welcoming two pioneers who have dedicated their careers and their lives to peace building. The Reverend Canon Charles Gibbs, who is the founding executive director of the United Religions Initiative, which is also known as URI, a global interfaith network for world peace that is active in 60 countries. Charles has traveled worldwide as a featured speaker as he continues his work with religious, spiritual, and community leaders. He's co-authored Birth of a Global Community, which tells about the founding of the United Religions Initiative. We also have Avon Madison, who is co-founder and president of Pathways to Peace, a global peace-building, educational, and consulting organization based in the San Francisco Bay Area with active representatives in many countries. Avon is a forerunner in the field of peace-building and has been involved with the International Day of Peace since the very beginning. Pathways to Peace also serves as an international coordinator of the important Culture of Peace initiative. Masanko Banda will join us later. As we look forward to Peace Day, as it is also called, we'd like to hear from both of you more about what is involved and how your organizations support these important celebrations taking place. Charles, would you like to begin by telling us about URI's participation?
The United Religions Initiative is a fairly young organization, so we don't have the deep history, although we have deep admiration for the pioneering work Avon and Pathways to Peace have done. For the last 4 years, our global council has invited our groups all over the world to join together in celebrating the International Day of Peace. So you might have an indigenous community in Ayacucho, Peru, gathering people for a peace celebration. At the same time, in Lahore, Pakistan, Muslims and Christians, Hindus and Baha'is are gathering together and planting a peace pole in that country, which hardly symbolizes peace for the world, but that dedication is alive in the midst of the Philippines to see, with so much turmoil, people of different faiths coming together and doing educational programs, or in Israel, Christians, Jews, Muslims gathering in the plaza by the Western Wall and the Dome of the Rock and singing and dancing together for peace. These aren't the images that we see on the news every day, but for us, it is an opportunity to make visible for the world and for ourselves, that peace can be a global reality that we can share as a global community, each connected to the other.
Well, the doorway to knowing more about this, since the news programs aren't covering it, is the wonderful website that you can see for the International Day of Peace. And you go there and you see some of the programs you've mentioned and many others, and you can click on their particular websites to see, again, the specifics of how they're making this day real and how they're making it personal. And we are so excited to share that with the audience, because 10 years ago, if we said, go Google internationaldayofpeace.com, people would say, hey, what? And so we are now feeling that we have access to so much more connector pieces in our lives and in what we want to know about. And Avon, we'd like to ask you, since you were part of the inaugural International Day of Peace community, how you are reflecting this year on the International Day of Peace.
What has been interesting to watch in terms of the involvement of the International Day of Peace is it went from a day that no one knew anything about when it was established in 1981 to organizations and peoples in over 173 nations are now involved with the annual Peace Day.
Wonderful.
There is a growing will for peace through concerted action, and this is evidencing itself in that these diverse actions of peace range from tree planting for peace through ecology in 68 countries through schools that are connected throughout the world, to organizations such as United Religions Initiative that bring together people of different faiths and different spiritual practices together to find out what is the common essence of what it is that we are all called to wanting to contribute toward enhancing the quality of lives, not only for our sake, but for future generations.
Well, we have to plan for future generations, and I think the recent movie that Al Gore has produced helps more people see how the ecosystem is having its own war with man on the planet, but also war, of course, is on everybody's minds these days. And we need to wage peace, but how it happens is reflected in all the organizations that are involved in the International Day of Peace programs. And I would say that there's has to be a yearning inside for people to change their lives so that these peace celebrations can move into what happens day to day and how we see that. And in your work with URI, I know that you also have been an Episcopal priest and doing work with many different religious leaders, and the conversations, I'm sure, have changed since 9/11. And how we are looking at the fact that we don't assume we are in a peaceful world here in the United States anymore. We don't feel so secure, and we are less trustful of what's going to happen for our children and for our lives. So how do you see that reflected in your work?
There have been some significant changes since September 11th. One, before then, when you talked to a lot of people about interfaith work for peace and its importance, many people would look at you like, what's the big deal? After September 11th, no one wonders why this work is important mm-hmm. anymore. What is important in a climate that's governed so much by fear, by distrust, is to create visible examples of people of different faiths working together that create trustworthy models of how we can survive, how we can thrive as a human species. So to see Muslims, Christians, and Jews in the Middle East working together, creating an infrastructure for peace, when the day comes, God willing, that the political leaders find the way and the will to sign a peace accord, there are people on the ground who have been building relationships. So instead of demonizing each other, they've come to know and respect each other. They share each other's joys. They mourn each other's losses. It's creating that sort of ongoing lived reality where we see ourselves in each other, where perhaps, to put it one way, we rise to a level of consciousness where we see a shared identity as citizens of this planet and as coming from a common source. and we hold that together and then celebrate, I'm a Jew, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Christian. In that context, we celebrate, I'm an American, a Pakistani, a Peruvian, a Brazilian.
But we all have the same soul connection, the same heart connection, the same idea that happiness is the question mark that's on so many scientists' minds these days and the subject of so many books. And the Dalai Lama had a best-selling book, The Art of Happiness. And a friend of mine has a book, How to Choose Peace and Happiness. And then there's another friend of mine, Sally Helgeson, who's doing a whole research on women and happiness. And it is connected with peace. And the question I ask all the time is, can we have happiness without peace? And can we have peace without happiness? And I think you have to keep that in your mind every single day as you get up in the morning and brush your teeth and connect with your family or your community. Because if it isn't personal, how can it be global?
Well, in that regard, there's a wonderful Hindu chant that translated is simply, may all the people in all the world be happy. If you really create that intention in your heart.
Yes.
That all the people in all the world be happy. If you pray for, meditate for, offer your spiritual intentions, not only for yourself and the people you would immediately identify as being like you, if you can open your heart and say, all the people and all, even that one,
even
I don't like
guy
much.
Over there,
yeah.
Right.
Even that person ought to be happy. It creates an opening that is remarkable.
And Avon, your work has had such vision to it, and you have collected people into that vision. And you have been a person who knows how to connect meditation and peaceful action and other people into a sense of an atmosphere of peace in the work that you do. And when there are meetings at the Pathway to Peace office and you light a candle and you invite people to invoke their thoughts in ways that go all around the world in an intention, can you explain more of how that came into your life?
Yes, it came as a child, actually, which I didn't know it was called meditation or whatever. But I noticed that because I was a child during World War II, that there was often such a difference between what adults said in theory or what was said in a religious surrounding and what was practiced within 5 minutes afterwards.
Yes.
And I also noticed that there was so much violence over peace. So I made a commitment when I was very young that I would practice the best that I could to have some path of integrity where I could find what it was that allowed me to return to some place that let me be true to something I knew was grander than myself, that was inclusive of all circles of life.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that that had to go into action. So what I have discovered in my life is that whatever one does as part of one's personal practice about discovering the path of peace in one's own life, it absolutely leads to some act of service that we call peace building. And so personal and planetary peace are really inseparable.
And I love the word service coming into the conversation, because without seeing ourselves in service, then we are too focused internally on the I and what I can do in the world, which is not the way human beings were meant to be. They were meant to be connected, and that's why we feel each other's hearts and look into each other's eyes and know there is a soul place to find connector pieces there too.
It's what you said also before about identity and that we're all connected as souls. When that is realized, that we all are interconnected, then the harmlessness toward none and the happiness for all comes into play, because we're identified as one. And that's the beauty of what you are eliciting in this program.
Well, thank you, because we want to say that it is hard. It is a challenge to become a peaceful person. And it's a work. It's like people work on a marriage. They work on a friendship. So in speaking about this, we have to say that we all here in the room believe that personal change changes the world. And as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world, which we all believe. So maybe all of our listeners today can envision a society whose members embody positive, harmonious attitudes about themselves and others. Imagine the change in our nation if peace-generating behavior could catch on. And clearly there is a yearning for peace. Louise Diamond, founder of the Peace Company, has a piercing remark for all of us. She says, "I believe our planet is facing a major crossroads, a critical choice point in human history, where the choices we make now will determine the very survival of our species." How can storytelling and music help us learn about peace? We'll be talking about that in our next segment, where we'll be joined by two people who have done just that. Storyteller, healer, and performer Masanko Banda, and Sharon Mehdi, author of The Great Silent Grandmother Gathering. But first, you'll hear peace messages from Joni Mizrak and Sharon Frankemont and Patricia Smith-Melton.
My name is Joni Mizrak, and I am the co-founder of Pathways to Peace and a peace-building consultant. I'm also on the board of the Citizens for a United Nations People's Assembly and on the Sustainable Planet Committee of the Threshold Foundation. My message for your listeners is to take a minute of silence each day at noon to be more peaceful and stop and think about the entire planet and our place in it. If you'd like to learn more about how you can create peace by promoting a People's Assembly at the UN, go to the website empowertheun.org.
Hi, I am Sharon Frankemont and the co-founder of the Prayer Vigil for the Earth in Washington, D.C. Our purpose is to come together and to create a practice field for peace, a place where each tradition can bring their ceremony and experience respect from the other tradition. So this world of violence that we have among and between religions is kind of mitigated by this possible world that we can create where all traditions recognize their commonality in the seeking of peace within ourselves, peace with each other, and peace on the earth. If you'd like to know more about the Prayer Vigil for the Earth, please visit our website at oneprayer.org.
Invite your friends and family to listen to The Joan Kenley Show online or here on 960 KKGN every Saturday at 5. You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show, right here on Green 960 AM, KKGN.
I'm Patricia Smith-Melton, and I'm the founder and executive director of Peace by Peace. The most important decision an individual can make in the world today is the personal decision to reach out to others, to connect across differences, and to correct misunderstandings, whether locally or globally. Once that personal decision is made, the rest is just making good on your promise to yourself. At Peace by Peace, we provide the means where women as individuals, hundreds and tens of thousands of individuals, and more of all cultures of the world, can reach out to connect and communicate as members of sister circles using the internet and weaving it into a global web of peacemakers. At www.peacexpeace.org, that's PEACEXPEACE.org, you can become a member of Peace by Peace and bridge the divides in our world today.
Welcome back to The Joan Kenley Show, where we're talking about the International Day of Peace, which is celebrated annually throughout the world on September 21st. I'd like to quote David Spangler, first of all. He's the author of Standing at the Feet of Mars, and he says, Peace is a raging river. It plunges over a cliff to become a waterfall, sparkling and roaring in the sunlight. It is power. Nothing can stand before it. It is generative, nourishing, and irresistible, just like the drumming we just heard from Masanko. He says, it calls me to explore. Peace calls me to new places where I will change. And the question I would like to ask our listeners is, what would life be like if we lived in peace, as powerfully as Spangler suggests, in all its dimensions, every day of our lives, no matter what is happening at any given moment? So carry that question with you as we come back right here with Avon Madison, who is co-founder of Pathways to Peace, and joining us is Masanko Banda, an international performer, educator, and healer dedicated to building peace through music, drumming, and storytelling, and so many more ways as he brings his work into schools, organizations, corporations, and communities around the world. When Masanko was a small child in Malawi, Central Africa, his grandmother said to him, Masanko, your job when you grow up will be to bring peace, joy, and healing to the world using dance, music, and stories. And indeed, that's just what he's doing today. So how do you find, Masanko, that storytelling transmits maybe more than a newspaper article or a media story to the community that you're engaging with?
Well, I know growing up in Malawi, one of the things that I learned very early is that when you know somebody else's story, it is very hard to have that person be an enemy. In the UN General Assembly, a young girl, her name was Rosa, from El Salvador, whose arm had been cut off in a guerrilla attack against her father. She stood up in front of the UN, and there had been some other people speaking before her, making long speeches, you know, with statistics and all that, and there was hubbub on the floor. As soon as she stood up and said, I want to tell you a story about how I lost my arm, there was silence.
Yes.
And the adults listened. Her peers listened. And by the end of it, she knew and we knew that everybody leaving that auditorium would think different about sponsoring any kind of terrorism or about allowing any kind of terrorism to happen.
Exactly.
And everywhere that I have worked, that has always been the case. When somebody tells their story, things change.
And that is, I think, one of the most powerful instruments of peace on the planet, is this fostering of peace builders through all forms of education, including storytelling, music, art, whatever it is. And this is the beauty of the work that Masanko does.
Right. And Masanko is also partnering with Kim Weichel in forming the Institute of Peacebuilding, which is helping communities here in the Northern Bay Area, but also you're taking these programs from John F. Kennedy University abroad into Malawi and other countries. We're going to say goodbye to Masanko, and Avon will be back with Charles Gibbs in our closing segment. But right now, we'll be welcoming author Sharon Meddy, who is joining us by phone from Ashland, Oregon. We're going to talk about her book, The Great Silent Grandmother Gathering. On the flyleaf of this beautiful little book, it draws you in with the words, on a buffety, blustery, early summer day, when the news was bad and the sky turned yellow, a strange thing happened in the town where I live. So begins this moving and enchanting story of two grandmothers who, by standing in the park all day, not speaking, not looking at squirrels, not munching on coconut candy, soon have everyone in town talking. What are they doing? A young girl informs the stumped observers shyly, they're saving the world. This simple act and these words have an enormous impact on the town and soon on towns all over the world. At a time when the news is bad and many people feel powerless, this inspiring story tells of two women who do something so simple that at first no one takes them seriously, but soon, when they are joined by other women, and then many other women, their simple act of caring has the power to transform. And together these women discover great things are possible, even and especially peace. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Thank you so much.
We want to talk a little bit about how you envision gathering silent grandmothers fits into this whole idea of gathering women to save the world, which is the subtitle of Jean Boland's book, which is Urgent Message from Mother.
Well, it's so interesting because when I wrote this little story, I wrote it for a newborn baby granddaughter, and it was a fable. It didn't occur to me that women would actually, anyone other than my granddaughter would actually read this story, or that women would start standing. But in the town where I live, in Ashland, Oregon, every morning in the big city park, in Lithia Park, women come and they stand. And they stand from 7:30 until 9:30 in the morning. And they stand all over the park. And now the city of Ashland regulates the mowing of the lawn around the time that the women are standing.
Oh, that's so good.
And I know. It, you know, people drive by. It's quite, you know, we stand in the rain. We stand in the heat. We stand this morning. It was very misty when we were standing. And it's different women all the time. And some come and some go and some stay the whole 2 hours. But we have a real sense that we are doing the one thing we can do. There's this wonderful Helen Keller quote, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. I will not refuse to do the something I can do." So people are joining us in spirit, if not in fact. They're standing in their own towns, and it's just something that's happening that is quite amazing and thrilling.
Someone said the other day, how do we enliven women? How do we get them to say, I can do that, and to stand silently, even if it's in their own backyard, is something. And they don't have to stand for 2 hours. They can stand for 15 minutes. But the idea that they're joining the collective intention that we are able to say, I can stand for peace. I mean, I think that's really a wonderful message.
Thank you so much, Joan.
Most of the beautiful music you've heard on our show today was composed by Gary Mulken, award-winning composer, producer, and performer dedicated to making a difference in the world by participating in projects that inspire the heart and catalyze social change. He is founder and CEO of his company, Wisdom of the World, Media for a Meaningful Life. Do stay tuned for more timely information about celebrating the International Day of Peace.
Hi, this is Barbara Gahn Mueller, and as president of Pox 2100 and the wife of Robert Mueller, I think peace is my middle name. We have worked so hard for peace, even to have a daily email that goes out free to the world called Good Morning World. And if you want to sign up and get a little good news in the morning, you just go to www.goodmorningworld.org. I have been with Robert many, many times when he has been making speeches, and this little girl stood up and she said to him one day, "But you're so important and I'm so little. What can I do for peace?" And as I looked at her, I said, "You could have a peace corner in your house." And she said, "I'll do it." And what we have now is from that little girl to 500 homes in Santa Barbara, and probably more than that in schools and churches. Peace corners are spreading, and all you do is write the word peace corner on a piece of paper or go to our website, www.robertmueller.org.
My name is Robert Mueller, who has worked in the United Nations for 38 years, who decided when I was young and suffered so much under the wars between France and Germany that I decided to devote my life to peace. I entered the United Nations, and for all these years there, I have developed peace. I ended up an assistant secretary general. And now that I'm retired, I continue to work for peace in many, many ways. Even now, at my advanced age, every day I do something for peace. I have written 7,000 ideas for dreams and ideas for peace in the world. And this is available on the internet. And then in addition, there is a program called Good Morning World, in which for a number of years already, they have given excerpts from my speeches and so on. And you can order this, and every morning you get a message from me or from other people for a better world.
In the book, Choose Peace and Happiness by Susan Reeve, Elsa Joy Bailey is quoted saying something I really love. Inner peace floats into our presence like a surprise summer mist, moistening the dry spots, calming the tides, combing the tangles, feeding the hungers. All I know is, without it, I'm nothing.
What's not to love about the Joan Kenley Show, where talking truly matters, on 960 KKGN. The Joan Kenley Show, talk radio your way, on 960 KKGN.
Hi, my name is Dot Maver, and I'm the executive director of the Peace Alliance, campaigning for a U.S. Department of Peace. Our mission is to advocate for legislation that supports a culture of peace, and we are part of the Global Alliance for Ministries and Departments of Peace. As you probably know, Congressman Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill calling for a U.S. Department of Peace and Nonviolence in the House of Representatives, 3760. This legislation is supported by FLEA of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Visit Our Tables at their concerts throughout this fall, throughout the United States. Walter Cronkite is in support of a Department of Peace, and he says it's not just a piece of legislation. It's a philosophical revolution. It is time to have structures in our governments that embody the principles of a culture of peace and that promote a focus on peace building and encourage partnership between government and civil society. As we join others around the world celebrating International Peace Day, we invite you to join us in Walks for Peace in cities throughout the United States. For more information about the Peace Alliance and Walks for Peace, visit www.thepeacealliance.org. It will take all of us working together to create a world that works for everyone.
Hi, I'm Louise Diamond, founder and CEO of The Peace Company. I have a unique perspective on peace, which is that we need now to start building a peace economy and show that peace is good business. And therefore, The Peace Company is created as a for-profit entity to provide resources for people who choose to walk the peace path, who choose to make peace in their lives and in the world. And one of our premier products is a book that I wrote some years ago called The Peace Book, 108 Simple Ways to Make a More Peaceful World. This book was written with the intention of saying, those of us who love peace, who choose peace, who want to build peace in our world, what can we do about it? Let's get practical. Now, the unique thing about the Peace Book is that you can't buy it in a store. You buy it from us in bulk, although you can buy individual copies. We encourage people to buy it by the box full and give it away, because peace grows when you give it away. You can get this book from the Peace Company, www.thepeacecompany.com.
Welcome back to the Joan Kenley Show. I'm Joan Kenley, where we are celebrating the International Day of Peace, held every year throughout the world on September 21st, and this is the 25th anniversary. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was also a renowned Army general, he said once, "I like to believe that people in the long run are going to do more to promote peace than our governments." Now, how about that? He said this that many years ago. He said, "Indeed, I think that people want peace so much that one of these days governments had better get out of the way and let them have it. And I can't believe in my own heart, in my own soul, that we haven't learned our lessons from all the wars in the past. It makes no sense. To me, war is the stupidest thing that ever happened on the planet. Why somebody has to have power over another, why somebody has to win by killing men, women, and children." And it distresses me terribly. That's all I can say. And the fact that we're talking about something that's positive and peaceful is just really great to be having this conversation today with Charles Gibbs, who's Executive Director of United Religions Initiative and Pathways to Peace co-founder and president, Avon Madison. So we're now going to talk about how action in the world, as you know it, has shown you specific ways that peace action does work. And you have a story about your daughter, Charles.
Sure. My daughter, Naomi, who is now a senior in high school, 2 years ago was a co-organizer of a March demonstration that was called Fund Our Town, Not the War, that attempted to show how critical city services were being cut at the same time a great deal of tax money was going into war.
And they were how old when they started this?
They were 15 years old.
Isn't that amazing?
It was extraordinary working with the fire chief and the chief of the police and the city manager to talk about what we were losing by investing in war and what we weren't investing in that could help make the community and by extension the world a more peaceful and productive place.
Was that a one-of-a-kind program or did other cities pick that up?
I think there were probably similar things, but it wasn't a chain
event. It wasn't.
Event, no.
Yes, but what a brilliant idea.
It was thrilling as a parent to sit and see your daughter standing next to her congresswoman and presenting her at a demonstration in favor of investing in peace.
Well, it seems that many people could take that lesson with them and move it into the schools and into their communities. And Avon, what are some of the specific things, because you've been at the UN and you've been so many places around the world and you've been in presidents' conferences, and what are some of the inspiring stories that come to your mind today?
I want to pick up first on a very important point you said, linking back to peace, that has to do with these practical acts of peace help us to realize that peace is not this abstract idea for which we don't have responsibility, but it's a dynamic, creative, most powerful process with which everyone can get engaged. It's just a commitment and a shift in awareness. And on Peace Day, this was a few years ago, there was a group of students who were definitely... there was a problem that they were having with government and with others within, and they just wanted to not demonstrate for peace, but just to begin peace education. So they utilized the Culture of Peace Initiative, which was then known as the We the People's Initiative, and they had this letter that was a formal letter about their participation in this annual Peace Day, and it had a UN Peace Messenger Initiative symbol on it and all of this sort of stuff. And they held that up and they just said, we do not want to be killed for standing for peace. We want to work with you. So they began to get together students in the area as well as government leaders and the so-called others.
Mm.
And because the Civil War had broken down all communication systems, they went back to one that had not been used in a long time. They drummed the messages of peace all the way around Sierra Leone.
Oh, how amazing.
And there was a unified movement inaugurated by a handful of students called Gateway to Peace,
mm-hmm.
that did this in a bombed out organization that they had that was now just two sheets of aluminum with a tiny piece of wood in the middle, and that was their office. And to this day, they are carrying on that work. And the others that remain just are so phenomenal in my mind are the diverse expressions of peace that are as diverse as humanity is. And that's what's so extraordinary, getting back to your idea about asking Charles about, is this being replicated? What we're attempting to do with the Culture of Peace Initiative and the InternationalDayOfPeace.org website is to give examples of these brilliant acts of peace that are happening with you and you and you, all that are the simple things like making certain that you pick up your own litter or that you recycle, or an act of kindness to somebody who's a stranger or who might have been, quote, the other. And by seeing examples of what happens in the world, what it does is it sparks that idea, I too can do this, and it's as simple as what I already do in my everyday life, but I never thought of as an act of peace, and that's the transformation.
Don't Irene Kai and David Wick have a pass-along peace message that they're giving people little cards about peacemaking that can be done through the internet now, and it's called Peace Messages, I believe?
Yes, Messages of Peace.
Yes, yes.
And you can go and obtain those to the cultureofpeace.org website.
Exactly.
And the idea is that why don't we make peace contagious?
Exactly. I mean, they've said that some things can be contagious that aren't good, and we're talking about something that is a building contagion. At the beginning of the show, I said, wouldn't it be great if peace activism could catch on as the thing to do? And if the wrong thing to do is to be nasty to your neighbor or angry at your partner at work, I mean, these are the things that we want to break down. I mean, having a peaceful response in a challenging circumstance is hard. And sometimes people feel that the challenges of war are going to just defeat us all. And illness can break our spirit. We know that. And depressing or negative thoughts can overwhelm us. But there are amazing ways that we can choose, and this is a choice, peaceful living as a day-to-day experience for yourself. I mean, that's really where it starts. Let there be peace on earth, let it begin with me. And for instance, if you're attempting to be peaceful, how do you assert yourself in a moment of conflict? It might be that you have to learn by going to the pathwaystopeace.org website and learning some of the principles on the peace wheel, by going to the URI.org website and saying, what makes this organization work with their people in peaceful ways? What are the suggestions, the ideas, the protocols? We can learn to be more peaceful. As a psychologist, I know that inside, people have such negative conversations with themselves that create disharmony and an inner peaceful life that seems so unattainable. But there are concepts and practices and suggestions and all kinds of ways that we can not just grab onto, but ask people to join us. Just as we know groups help groups, there are circles of peace. There are circles of conversation. There are dialogue groups that come together. And in small groups of 8 or 10, what if you talked about ways to be peaceful all day with the people that you know and love, rather than talking about what you're doing next week and what video game is up for you this week? And so there are things about conversation, and that's what this show is about, that wants to take the subject to the next level. So remember, if you would say, let's take Thursday night as an example, and invite the family to have conversation that you don't normally have, and have a question at the dinner table, or have a subject or a theme, the way we have a theme on this show, and say, how could we be more peaceful in the week to come? What would be the things that would take the scratchiness or the disattention out of this family dynamic? Or what would we do when we're having trouble with a friend and we don't want to speak to that friend about it? Hide it under the carpet? No, that's how do we bring it forward? How do we tell the truth and stay kind? How do we stay kind and be able to risk losing a friend in order to gain more friendship? These are some of the conversations that interest me. And I think we have to develop a capacity. It's a developmental thing to be equitable and peaceful regardless of the circumstances. And so do you find that these challenges come up in both of your organizations as you are working in the world? I mean, Charles, I'm sure you have had experiences of the challenges as well as the exaltation of success.
It's one step to be able to see a new way of being. It's another thing to step into it and inhabit it. And from my experience in the spiritual world, you talk about spiritual practice. There's a reason it's practice. You have to keep doing it, whether it's a prayer practice, a meditation practice, a mindfulness that helps you be in a different kind of relationship. Every spiritual tradition has resources that can help us be more peaceful. I love the Buddhist teaching that says every human being has within him or herself the seeds of everything a human being is capable of.
I do love that too.
And we need to nourish the seeds of peace that exist within each of us. And the resources are both vast, but also tiny. when you think of what the human species has invested over millennia in developing the tools of war and violence, and compare that to what we've invested in developing the tools of peacefulness, we're babies.
We are babies.
And it's late in the day.
Yes.
That's why this work is so important. We need to raise the visibility of this work and say, let's all invest in learning more about how to be peaceful.
And having the conversation. I mean, have it again and again and again, not just with ourselves, but with those we know and love, and not just our family. I mean, when's the last time we talked to our neighbor about what we believe is truly heartful and full of peace? And even in your own work, I know that you are always changing and growing and working with peaceful ways.
Peace is service learning. That's the beauty of the dynamic, active process of peace, and the fact that it is present with us as an innate potential, and our innate, we say in Pathways to Peace, peace is both an innate state of being and our dynamic, transformative process. And every day is a challenge in terms of some of the work that we are called on to do in the world and here in the United States, but also within one's own self, how to maintain a simple practice that helps you to remain true to what you know is the path of integrity, which is really the pathway to peace.
And I think the sooner we talk to children about these methods of focusing on peaceful behavior. We had a program on Montessori schools and Waldorf schools, and they talk a great deal to very young children about being connected to another child, even if they're in a competition in a sports event, about how to recognize the value of the person in the event and how to look at the world through artistic eyes and growing eyes and musical eyes, and how to integrate that in mind, body, heart, and soul. And so there is the way that the family is involved in the education, and then we have our churches where people come in community and can pray and learn together. And also we have conversation groups that are as holy as going to church if we are talking about things that matter. The 14th Dalai Lama said that peace, in the sense of the absence of war, is of little value to someone who is dying of hunger or cold. It will not remove the pain of torture. It does not comfort those who have lost their loved ones in floods. Peace can only last where human rights are respected, where people are fed, and where individuals and nations are free. And that is so true. I'd like to say it requires hope to believe that we can truly make peace a reality. When we have a shared hope with others, the possibilities become much, much greater. Truly helpful resources on the internet are so useful. For instance, Code Pink's Declaration of Peace, Robert Mueller's More Than 5,000 Ideas to Bring Peace into Your Life, The Prayer Vigil for the Earth, Peace by Peace, the U.S. Department of Peace, the Peace Alliance, Messages of Peace, the Peace Company, and the Culture of Peace Initiative. We have a much more extensive list on my website, joankenley.com. I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that the Joan Kenley Show brings you conversation radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. We appreciate the richness of service of those we were privileged to have on our show today. Special mention goes to Gary Malkin, who is the composer of many of the musical selections you've heard on this Peace Day program. We hope everyone in our audience will be celebrating peace within and with others each day, every day. I personally like to embrace the idea of peace as joyful, technicolor, expansive, powerful, and life-affirming. If personal change can change the world, could you choose each morning to behave more peacefully with yourself and others? Oh, I think that's an idea whose time has come. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, program producer Tiffany Chalice and Carson Day, engineer and technical producer. Tune into our show for more Conversation Radio every Saturday at 5.